and the serpent being there. I mean, God, why didn't he prevent the serpent from being there? Why didn't he make the fruit awful? It's all these things he did with a purpose. Paul, but you're still, I still don't get it. And him saying, I still don't get it. Well, if God did all that on purpose, what does he wants man to sin? So he, what is he, like sin? No, that's the point. He doesn't like it. But he wants us to be subject to it. He wants us to go through it. And I'll just offer this for anyone's consideration. This is my own justification. This comes from my own heart based on the scriptures. Based on the scriptures. And especially Romans chapter 8. You know, he subjected the creation to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of hope. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. It pleased God in bringing many sons to glory, Hebrews, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. It pleases God. And you think about that. He brought suffering on Christ. That's what pleased him, to make him perfect. And it is given to us on behalf of Christ not only to believe, but to suffer for his name's sake. Philippians chapter 1, the last verse. You bring that together mentally. God wants to bring us into something better than humanity. He wants to bring those he has chosen to become his sons, to become co-heirs with Christ, to become his brothers. That is an extreme difference between human life and divine life. Because we're going to be, as it is written, we may be partakers of the divine nature and heirs of eternal life and of the powers of the world to come. And in preparation for that, God thought it good to subject us to this vain world, to a world in which evil dwells, in which evil overwhelms. And it's very much the same idea as I was saying before. If you are not able to endure temptation in this world, how in the world to come shall you endure the temptation? You know, God creates a world of instruction, a world in which he patiently hides himself, you know, for the good of his chosen. And you think about it, God could create for himself. He could create all kinds of things for himself to please himself. Just worlds full of goodness or pleasure, base things. You know, you look at the idea of heaven in some religions and they see it as a big sexual orgy. Or you see the idea of a big feast where people are pigging out. And you say to yourself, that's what they think it is? We come from earth, we're going to bring our carnality up with us into the kingdom of God? God says no. No. The way to the kingdom is narrow and straight. Few there be that find it. We have to enter in by the straight gate, by the narrow gate, by the narrow and rigorous way of Christ, which is a righteous and perfect way. And so this is preparation. God has subjected this creation to this vanity, as he calls it, in hope. Because the creation itself is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's going to be a much better world. The planet itself is going to have a much easier time of it without humanity burdening it with its sin. The reason I go into all that is because I know that people need to know about Satan. And really, that opens up a can of worms. It does. And I have covered this topic in different ways from different angles. I do it for those who do not understand. Sometimes I go over the same things. You just have to bear with me. I like going over the same things over and over again. I like to remind myself because every time I learn a little more, every time I learn how to explain it a little better, so that if you keep listening with me, eventually I'll learn better and you'll learn better. Or maybe you'll have the joy of seeing someone come along because you know the truth. So the devil has made this offer to Jesus. Worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only shalt thou serve. Very simple there. That offer Satan made is the same thing he's going to tempt God's elect with in the end times. And he's going to tempt the entire Christian world with it. When the dragon comes down having great wrath, for he knows he has but a short time, we know that Antichrist is going to set up a kingdom. And he's going to portray it as being the kingdom of God on earth. And he's going to rule the whole world. And it's going to be a shortcut. It's going to be, he's offering us, you can rule the whole world with me, just worship me. He's going to offer that to Christians, to anyone who will join him. You can become a ruler with me. And it'll be just like they'll think, it's just what we always hope for. This is the return of Christ. We misunderstood the character of Christ's return. Or something. Because I tell you, they already misunderstand it so badly, it won't be hard for the devil to knock them off of their understanding. It won't be hard for him to trip them up. He's already got them so confused. It will not be difficult for him to totally shift their gears. When they find out the rapture doesn't happen, I mean, everything is going to be messed up. That's their entire prophetic understanding of many Christians. Others being amillennialists and so on and so forth, and not understanding what is to come. You know, they think the Pope was Antichrist, Antichrist is over, and they don't understand that even now Antichrist is at work. Antichrist is not merely one man, but it is personified in one man. Antichrist is a spirit that runs through the church and through Christianity, and it is everywhere. There's Christian and Antichristian. There's Christ and Antichrist. And anyone who comes in the spirit that denies the man Jesus Christ, as he is known from this scripture, is Antichrist. Now, they may affirm him with their lips and words and portions of him, but they will deny him in some other fashion, in doctrine, in teaching, in godliness, in deeds, in works. They will deny him. In works, they deny him. And so the devil is going to tempt the world with this kingdom. Again, I'll give it all to you. I'll bring peace to the world. Just bow down and worship me. And it says in Revelation, and they worship the dragon which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto him? Who is able to make war with him? It's the same temptation he tempted Christ with. He's going to tempt the world with it. And because people don't know their God, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Because Christians don't know their Christ, they will be vulnerable. That is why it is imperative that we come to an understanding of God. And how do we come to know God? How do we know God? Shall we study hard to know him? That's not what John says. Whosoever hath not studied hard hasn't known God. No. The Apostle John in 1 John 3 says, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. As long as we are still the servants of sin, we don't know God, we haven't seen God, we are so susceptible.